Closing the case against the URI. Since 1995, the URI has moved from being the dream of one liberal Episcopal bishop to become a global movement of over 26,000 interfaith activists, with growing ties to the United Nations and with funding from major foundations. The URI has grown with little controversy or active opposition, aside from the Vatican and from a few Orthodox Protestants and Catholics. Most of those who instinctively reject the URI have assumed that the movement is too unrealistic to go far. Brooks Alexander, an evangelical Christian expert on cults, explains the phenomenon. That's New Age protective coloration. Unless the message gets across, it gets ignored. Unlike the early apostles of Christ, the preachers of the New Age don't stir up resistance wherever they go. If they are not understood and accepted, they are simply dismissed. As the URI grows, attracting prominent adherents and million-dollar donors, the sanguine dismissal of the movement by many of its opponents is being proven unfounded. Other observers of the URI have favored the Gamaliel approach to the movement. Keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or this undertaking is of men, it will fail. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. You might even be found opposing God. Acts 5 verses 38 to 39. In the long run, this will be true. Nevertheless, the Gamaliel strategy is no longer a good reason for a wait-and-see approach to the United Religions Initiative. The movement is taking root worldwide. Since 1789, many other utopian movements have done great damage before they were stopped. God rarely uses direct intervention to stop activities that are against his will. The ordinary means that God uses for this task are the discernment, labor, and prayers of the faithful, the members of the body of Christ. Ideas have consequences. Bad theology and bad philosophy matter. A movement like the URI, based on heretical theology and unrealistic philosophy, is out of touch with reality about God, human nature, and society. Giving credence and power to those out of touch with reality is dangerous. The history of the last century is an extended proof of this statement. Many URI leaders and activists are worldly, liberal prelates, professors, and theologians. It might seem outlandish to worry that these people, whose spiritual forebears created the now irrelevant World Council of Churches, could do anything as ominous as the creation of a new religion that would synthesize ancient and modern heresies. However, there are single-minded zealots within and around the URI, the cultists, theosophists, and other members of new religious movements. These enthusiasts are the religious equivalent of the Leninist activists in the anti-war movement of the 1960s. These spiritual Jacobins have missionary zeal aplenty and an extensive track record of co-opting religious liberals and liberal-run religious institutions. The liberal members of the traditional religions believe strongly in peace, equality, and tolerance. Their credo is, "Can't we all just get along?" This is not a belief system that inspires zeal or provides the basis for keeping control of an organization away from fanatics. You can't beat something with nothing. The URI appears to be successful in overcoming potential tensions among its followers. Its proponents have included the Dalai Lama and churchmen from the state-approved churches in the People's Republic of China, pro-gay Episcopalians and anti-gay followers of the Reverend Moon, radical Muslims and radical feminists, as well as rich capitalist foundations and those who announce the spiritual bankruptcy of capitalism. Such is the URI's unity and diversity. It may be that these people are united in their desire for religious peace. It may also be that they all oppose traditional Christianity more than they distrust each other, and so are willing to cooperate to marginalize Orthodox Christianity. Can the URI achieve its aims? Could an organization with 26,000 followers worldwide and annual revenues of less than $4 million spark the spiritual revolution that it desires? Bishop Swing seems to think so, if the conditions are right. In 1998, he said, "The United Religions Initiative will be inevitable when the world has run out of options. When it is clear that the missing ingredient in authentic diplomacy is religion. The only reason there would ever be a United Religions is that the stark world demands it. The time of that demand is getting close." Swing has said the same since then. Swing did not say what event would evoke the demand. Why he suspected that the time of that demand is getting close, who will make the demand, or how it will be enforced. We cannot know whether or when a major, unexpected event favorable to the URI will occur. It may be that spiritual, economic, and political chaos from war or from megaterrorism will spark the demand that Swing expects. Bishop Swing, or a charismatic successor, may succeed in getting the UN, the European Union, or other international bodies hostile to traditional Christianity to fully align themselves with the URI. Many other possibilities exist. History can make sudden, unexpected turns. A successful United Religions initiative would bring with it the spread of irrational New Age beliefs and practices and would repopulate the naked public square of the West with a pantheon of idols. The collectivist, global ethic fostered by the URI would provide a fig leaf of respectability for further expansion of national and international government power at the expense of individuals, families, and the churches. Most of the URI's leaders, prominent supporters, and allies have a worldview and a cultural/political agenda inimical to traditional adherents of the three Abrahamic religions. If the URI succeeds in gaining global influence, it will become another opponent of Christ, another supporter of the relativist culture of death. A prayer card issued in 1996 by the URI contained an image of the birth of a new star, with the slogan, "Join a world waiting for the birth of a new light." United Religions. Christians do not need to join a world waiting for this new light. We already have a light that cannot fail. Christ said, "I am the light of the world," John 9 verse 5. The world may wait for the birth of a false, new light. Christ gave us the response, "Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world," John 16 verse 33. On this matter, let's give Bishop Swing the last word. On September 11, 1996, he extolled the URI to a meeting of 281 San Francisco Episcopal lay leaders and clergy, saying, "We're talking about salvation history here. If I'm wrong, I'm dead wrong. The bishop has spoken. The case is closed."